Blog Talk Radio.
Significance of Easter. You see, several hundred years now, the people who embrace the Christian idea have observed and celebrated this day.
Yes.
The deep and abiding meaning of Easter has to a large extent become obscure by the commercialization that now surrounds Easter. Easter is not generally thought of for its real meaning. To a large extent, Easter is not even observed and remembered for its real meaning. The majority of the people who remember Easter remember it because it is a time that we dress up and go places. It is a time that we exchange greeting cards. It is a time of getting out and parading. The Easter bonnet idea has dominated Easter for the most part more than the real meaning of Easter. For Easter, so far as the name is concerned, comes from a pagan practice. It draws its name from a Grecian goddess, Eosta. However, this goddess was supposed to reign over the early fruition of nature when grass started to growing and flowers started to blooming and nature began to express itself over the rebirth of life. So that this pagan idea was tied into our Christian idea because we believe that Jesus represents the resurrection of life. As the Greeks thought, the rebirth of life as expressed in nature. Now listen, if Jesus represents a rebirth of life or a resurrection of life, then tell me, who thinks of that in connection with Easter? Aren't we more concerned about whether we have a new outfit than we are as to whether or not we possess a real abiding understanding and appreciation of what Easter really means? The merchants who give Easter its fanfare, who make Easter Day a colorful, dramatic, graphic thing, for the most part, I doubt seriously whether they think about what Easter really means. Certainly, around the idea and on the periphery of it as well as around it, there are skeptics who question the reality of Easter. For a long time now, for many centuries now, questioning the resurrection.
Yes.
On the one hand, there are those who speak of Jesus as having experienced a bodily resurrection.
Yes.
There are those who say that the resurrection was a spiritual thing rather than a bodily thing.
Yes.
I don't think today that we need to enter into any controversy. To me, Jesus arose spiritually, whether he did bodily or not. The record in the Bible is that he rose. For there was doubt among the disciples and his followers that he did rise. In fact, Thomas quit the church. Quit going. Saying that the end had come. There was nothing left. My hopes were shot. The hope of Israel was blinded, so far as Jesus was concerned. And Thomas stopped attending the upper room meetings consistently. And on a couple of occasions when Jesus visited with that little shattered, frustrated group that met at one of the members' homes in Jerusalem, Thomas didn't know. Thomas wasn't there. And when the disciples tried to convince him, they said, Thomas, the women say that he's alive. Mary Magdalene, who was restless all night, went down to the garden where the tomb was. Just last summer, I stood in the spot, in the very garden. I walked in the cave that had been pointed out to be the place of the resurrection. The women were down there on the outside of the city wall of Jerusalem early to anoint his body. And they told Thomas that. That woman's heart was bleeding. And then as she walked and was astounded because the tomb was empty. Why, she inquired of the gardener. She relayed her frustration and her confusion to the person that she thought to be the gardener. They said something that She said something that is real significant. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid. That remark, I believe, signifies something that has happened to the whole idea even until this day. I believe that they have taken away my Lord. I believe the world is concerned about that. I believe that confused people are thinking about that. I believe that downtrodden and oppressed people are concerned about that. Even many of the churches have taken him away. And there is no knowledge as to why he is realistically. Oh, they go through a farm. They preach sermons. I'm talking about church people. But Jesus is so absent. Did you hear what I said? Jesus is so missing. Until if you are a certain color, you can't go in that place of God. Because they have taken away my Lord. His name is there. not there. If justice is not there, he's not there. If righteousness is not there, he's not there. If peace is not there, he's not there. They've taken away my Lord. Oh, as I look today on the horizon of time and view all the troubled spots in our world, when I think about the tension in the Middle East, when I think about seething Asia, when I think about rumbling Africa, when I think about the tension of Germany, they have taken away my love. And nobody's sure where they have laid it. I wish you'd pray with me a little while. They told Thomas this. They said, not only that, Thomas, why other people have seen him. We've seen him in the upper room a couple of times. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Unless my eyes see it. I must satisfy my sense of seeing. I've got to satisfy another sense too. I've got to satisfy my sense of feeling. I've got to lay my hand on him. Not only behold, but feel. And look at the wounds. For I saw him die. And if he died as I think he died and as he looked to have been done, I don't believe that he has arisen. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But they said, Thomas, he's living. And if anybody here today doubts the fact that Jesus is alive, look at the millions of people in the world today whom he is influencing. Not only in America, but in England, in France, in Italy, in Czechoslovakia, in India, in China, in Japan, in Jordan, in Egypt, in Syria, oh, the whole world over. A dead man could not rule that many lives. And I believe that all of us here ought to have some kind of a testimony today that he's alive. He's alive because he lives in my life. He influences me to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before him. He's a living influence. He's a living power. He's a living factor. He's a living determinant in my life and in the lives of millions today. Jesus lived. Jesus lived. On this particular occasion, Thomas happened to be at the meeting. Skeptical, cold, and indifferent. And while they proceeded with their order of worship, their memorial of Jesus, Jesus walked in their midst. He knew the doubt that had seized Thomas' heart. He knew the frustration that Thomas felt. He knew that Thomas needed strengthening. For after all, Thomas was a preacher. Thomas was one of the disciples. Thomas had to go around and convince others. Thomas had to tell the story to others. And nobody that's in doubt themselves can preach. If you don't really believe, you can't help anybody. You can't sell a thing that you don't believe in. You see, much of your effectiveness is gone in your doubt. So Thomas was not ready to preach the gospel. Thomas was not ready to tell the story. And when Jesus came in and saw Thomas, he went to him. And I heard him say, Thomas, behold my hand. Look at it. Thomas, look at the nail prints in my hand. Thomas, look at my brow. Remember the marks by the thorns pierced my brow. Thomas, behold my side. Thomas, if you are not satisfied, come on a little closer and lay your hand on me. Examine the wound. And Thomas, don't become afraid. I'm not a ghost. For a ghost does not have flesh and bone. Feel me and know that I am a reality. And I don't know how you feel today, my friend, that I conclude, but I believe, although like Thomas, I did not have that chance, but I heard Thomas say, my Lord and my God. And I heard Jesus say, blessed are they who believe and have not yet seen. But I have seen him, really. Spiritually, I've seen him. Spiritually, I've seen his hand. Spiritually, I beheld a wound in his side. Spiritually, I looked on his brow and I've seen the thorn. Did you hear me say the other day? Do you remember the old folk that said, why are you there when they crucified my Lord? Why are you there? Were you there? Yes. Spiritually, I was standing there. I saw him when they nailed him to a tree. I saw him when they put a thorny crown on his head. Yes. And I looked at him late Friday evening, lame in a tomb. But early, I don't believe you know what I mean today. Early, Sunday morning, he really arose. Do you know he arose? I'm about as good witness as I know he arose. The reason I know he arose, one Sunday morning, 1929, when I was on the ride of a boy in Bolivar County, Mississippi, he arose. Oh, my heart was moving. The spirit was moving in my breast anyhow. Yeah, yeah. As I go to my clothes tonight, let me tell you, during this Easter season, let's talk about the Prince of Peace. Let's talk about the God of love. Let's talk about the redeeming Savior. Let's talk about a man of an open door that no man can call. Everywhere, 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 on your job. Maybe you don't have anything to say. see your hand. Let's talk about a God of love. For Easter symbolizes life, resurrection, peace and joy, brotherhood among all people. Let's tell the world about it. Let's tell the world about it. Did you know him, you ought to be a witness. Did you know him, you ought to talk about him. Made a new resolution this Easter. Whereas in some time when I could have spoken, maybe I kept quiet. But I'm going to own the man. I'm going to tell the world what it means to me. I'm going to tell the world what it means in my life. Yeah. He met me in Bolivar County, Mississippi, when I was only a lad of a boy. About 12 years old, he gave me love down in my heart. He gave me a new outlook on life. He's opened doors for me. Lord, I've been closing the face.
when your body gets sick.